Welcome. We've just come back from a closed session, and I'll ask our city attorney to give any closed session report.
There's nothing to report.
Thank you. We will then do a call to order for our regular session and begin with the Pledge of Allegiance by Councilman Sturdivant.
Join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, our flag. Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Fonzie, here. Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Kelly?
Here.
Mayor O'Malley?
Here.
All present.
Thanks. First item is the approval of the agenda.
So moved.
I think that Mr. Lewis is going to step back into the council meeting and give me some advice, but the members from, many of the members from the De Anza Assessment District and many of the members of the Horse Club here locally are in Conference Room 4 sort of negotiating out their concerns about the horse arena there in the De Anza. And I know that they wanted to talk about that. They may not want to talk about it if they get there. All those issues, questions answered in Conference Room 4, but maybe should pull that and hold it on the agenda since they are here.
Yes, so would that be acceptable if we pull item 5 and hold that to later on the agenda, and if we'll check in with the folks later and see if they'd like to comment.
So moved.
Conference Room 4?
So
Brady and Jim Lewis and Russ Thompson.
I'll make a motion that we pull.
We have a motion on the floor for Roberta and second to approve all. I'm taking that as a consent calendar item to approve all items except for item 5.
So moved.
We have a number of motions. I accept a motion by Councilman Fonzie, seconded by Councilmember Kelly. Roll call, please.
I also want to mention that on number 1, there was an amendment to the minutes asked by Councilmember Fonzie, and as long as you all are in agreement with that, when you vote for this, you'll be approving that amendment.
Yes, I think all council members have received a copy of the proposed amendment.
That'll be fine for the second.
Hey, Tom, what's the motion? Forgot.
We are approving the consent calendar items minus number 5 and a slight modification on item 1.
Thank you.
So roll call?
Roll call, please.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Kelly?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
5-0, motion passes.
Thank you. So we will come back to consent calendar item 5 when we hear back from folks discussing that. We'll move on to updates from the city manager.
Mr. Mayor and Council, I actually have several lengthy update this evening about a variety of both out of the room. These guys have really provided great leadership to the Office of Economic Development, and the office has really been working for us. They've been really creative. The Office of Economic Development will be continuing its aggressive business attraction efforts next week by sending out this attractive flyer and interest letter to well over 100 businesses throughout the county, encouraging them to come to Atascadero, look at us for potential expansion, second locations, and the like. Targeted businesses will include restaurants, specialty retail, wineries, and other tourist-related businesses. The flyer specifically calls out our advantages of location, affordable rent, stimulus program, and our business-friendly attitude. The flyer also includes a coupon for our stimulus programs that are in place and keeps the same retro Highway 101 theme as our permit roadmap brochure. The goal of the flyer is to entice businesses to come to Atascadero and remind them that Atascadero is moving in the right direction. OED continues to be a real asset, and Jim and Warren are really providing great leadership there. The next item is the basin plan update. The Regional Water Quality Control Board held a hearing last Thursday on the latest basin plan amendment. As we've discussed at several meetings now, the council opposes the amendment because of the potential impacts on septic system users and the increased cost to administer the new regulations. Mayor O'Malley, Attorney Melissa Thorm, and Public Works Director Russ Thompson made presentations to the board regarding legal issues, cost implications, and state over-regulation. Several other speakers, including council members Fonzie and Clay, spoke against the regulations as well. While the Water Board made several revisions to the regulations that lessen the impact on the new rules, there continue to be many regulations that will still impact city residents. After almost agreeing to continue the item and work with the Tascadero, the board approved the amendment, and the amendment will now be sent back to the state for the administrative process. The good news coming out of our efforts is the board president contacted Mayor O'Malley after the hearing, indicated that the Water Board staff, that he had asked the Water Board staff to work directly with us on an on-site wastewater management plan that would reflect the city's current management oversight efforts and potentially exempt the city of Atascadero from those rules. Our staff is working on a management plan. We had already had it partially drafted, and we hope to submit it to the Water Board soon to avoid the impacts of the helps to reduce the uncertainty in the project design process, saving time and money. The DRC was envisioned to assist in the review of commercial and multifamily building permits, CUPs, plan developments, all of which are required to attain a parent's review approval prior to their approval. The Eagle Ranch specific plan is the biggest project in the city's history. The project will likely include a mixed-use village, destination resort, highway commercial development, and dozens of residential neighborhoods. Each one of these parts of the project will be subject to a parent's review. The purpose of this week's DRC meeting is to introduce the project to the committee and to begin a dialogue. The project is just beginning the design development phase, and the DRC can play a very important role on behalf of the City Council as a sounding board for different projects, designs, and issues. The DRC will not be taking any formal decision on the project at this meeting. This is just an introductory briefing by the applicant. Future DRC meetings will focus on project details such as architectural character, landscaping, street character, etc. And last, the California City Management Foundation, the organization that I'm affiliated with, and the League of California Cities have come together to initiate a campaign to help connect Californians to the great services they are provided in their cities, the management elected leadership team that oversee those services and the pride city residents feel in their city's histories, traditions, and records of excellence. It's also designed to help state leaders understand that California is strong in large measure because it has 482 strong cities, each with unique character, history, and array of public services. The Strong City, Strong State campaign is designed to educate and inform opinion leaders and residents about what their city is doing in partnership with them to build a community in which they can feel pride every day. Built on a robust web-based platform, the plan is literally a profile of every city in California, as well as the management and elected leadership team that makes them run in a responsible, ethical manner. Because Atascadero has a unique role in the development of this program, we will be one of the first featured cities and will be highlighted at next week's League conference in Sacramento. Those were my reports. If I can answer any questions.
Thank you. Well, there's a number of items we want to weigh. Concerns raised. I do understand the board's position and looking at adopting a policy that has to apply to a 5-county region and understand their concerns. And that's why I was appreciative that they did comment about the uniqueness of Atascadero and that we have many management pieces in place that I think could meet their concerns. And I was considering giving a call to the chairperson, but he beat me to it. The chair of the Central Coast Region Water Quality Control Board, Mr. Young, gave me a call, and we talked about this a little bit more. And I think he was impressed with the many management functions we have in place. it was very important to have Mr. Neal there from our water company and explain the water rights situation in Atascadero, because a major concern of the water board is protecting our drinking water. And when we finally got our point across that Atascadero is very unique, owning all of the water rights, and that the water company manages that, that there's very low likelihood that a domestic well will be impacted by this management plan, or we've accounted for that already. I think it puts us in a very good position with the policies we have in place. So what I had suggested to staff before, and the chairperson of the water board agreed this would be a good approach, is let's put together a letter outlining what we already do, and let's just get it in for some discussion. I followed up with Executive Officer Briggs, as Chairman Young suggested, and he agreed, let's get our staff together and review this letter. He will personally be involved, and one other staff person that has not been involved with this before, and they will work with our engineering staff, and I think we can come up with an agreement that either we have a management plan in place or we may be exempt. So I think that's the approach we're going to take, and I'm confident that we've got a good shot at this, and we're well positioned by our staff. Any other comments about the water board issue at this time?
I don't know whether staff would agree that it might be helpful to have a member of the city council there to get the political ramifications for those that have contacted us and told us what the effects will be on them personally.
We discussed that. I discussed that with staff and with others, and I think it might be better to have engineering staff work out proof to be more real, and in any case, then it needs to get back to the board. So I think this gives us an opportunity for the engineers to fine-tune this. If they can't agree, we've got agreement to get back to the water board, and that's where I think we can weigh in with that community input.
Wade, will this meeting be held in Atascadero?
We have not established the logistics of that meeting, but we do agree with the mayor.
I think that can happen. I suggested that, and Mr. Briggs, these are folks that are in our area, so we can't have a meeting in Atascadero, and I think you bring up a good point. They need to see a little bit of Atascadero.
I have also heard from Mr. Lewis, so you can take action on the De Anza. They're making headway on that project.
Okay, so let me come back to that one then. Any thoughts on water board?
Yeah. Waterboarding, right.
Yes.
It's illegal. At least some people think it is. But anyway, you said, Wade, on the cost to our public, it's an unnecessary cost, the way I see it. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
Okay. And then I think something that was brought out that we have only 0.3% failure in Atascadero. That's been a record for years.
Yes.
And they were trying to compare us to a area or a city that had like 18% or 20% failure rate, and we didn't think that was fair. And certainly we thank John Neal for being there. That was great. I mean, his input was very valuable. There's never been a bad. They test their wells regularly, and there's never been a bad test. And the other thing that's important is most of the housing is not over the aquifer. Most of the housing is west of the aquifer, and most of the aquifer is east of the housing. So, that was brought out too. So we just want something that fits our city, and hopefully with Tom's negotiation there and staff, we can get something that fits our city, and I think we're doing a really good job, and the old thing is, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So that's where I'm at.
Other council input? I think, appreciated Councilmember Clay and Councilwoman Fonzie's input at the board meeting. It was helpful. I think the water board did appreciate we are unique and may well be already compliant. Councilman Clay.
Yes, excuse me. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. What's the coupon for, Wade? Yeah.
The coupon is for the stimulus that you have in place. It provides for the 50% up to $2,000 of their sign or the first $999 of the building permit. So there are programs you have, but this is another way to publicize those programs. And as Councilmember Fonzie pointed out, a way to put something in people's hands, make them think more about Atascadero. I think that, like I mentioned, Jim Lewis and Warren Fraser are on top of this stuff. Yeah, they're doing really well.
That's certainly a good idea because it shows that we're open for business and we want you to come. And then I get a lot of questions on how is Galaxy doing? What is Galaxy telling you?
They're telling us they're doing terrific. Yeah. And I understand this weekend they were really busy because my kids went a couple of times and they said it was real busy. So I think that they're doing really well and they continue to enjoy the relationship here.
Thank you, Wade.
Good. Other Councilman Sturdum.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank the staff for being so proactive when it comes to business, new business, and just the way that you are so willing to help with existing businesses if they have problems or questions, and I really appreciate that. Thank you.
I'd just like to add the roadmap program that we have. I've been to several meetings over the last week or two, and I've had members of other chambers and cities come to us and said, hey, we're starting to put a roadmap program together like you have. I think, once again, Atascadero was number one in coming out there and being really, really progressive about going after businesses and what have you, and I want to thank whoever's behind doing all that. It's a really good program, and it'll be nice, like Roberta says, to have those things with us.
Good team. Yeah. Other council, go ahead, Councilman Fonzie.
Lots of questions tonight, sorry. I had someone call me today and ask about K-PASA. They had heard it was coming, and they said, is this a family-friendly business? Is this really more of a bar? I didn't know.
It is a family-friendly, it will have a liquor license, but it is a family-friendly, and they do have a website if you go to K-PASA, I think that it's a family-friendly, I haven't been in one, but it sounds really nice from what I understand.
Thank you.
Very good. I think we can go back to consent calendar item 5, and could we just get
But when it was set up, it was set up in such a way to where the city does not maintain the arena that we were going to rely on volunteers to maintain the arena. And listening to some of the concerns of the residents, there's been issues of late-night use of the arena by both equestrians and people who were not equestrians, leaving of trash and litter at the site, also of people taking their horses down in the streets and sidewalks rather than the trails, and the horses defecating on those surfaces. There was a concern that some people would take their horse trailers down there and clean them out at the site and leave the waste on site. So the Atascadero Horsemen's Association has come out this evening to help the city work on those issues. And Rochelle Rickard, Russ Thompson, and myself suggested that perhaps the best thing we could do is get these groups together rather than have, you know, a discussion in this forum, which really doesn't lend itself to much dialogue and resolution, especially since the item is not on the agenda. And so the parties went into the conference room 4. They're there now. Jim Lewis is there, Rochelle and Russ. And we're working on those issues, and we're trying to come up with a solution whereby we have some agreement from the Horse Association to try and mitigate those concerns, even though some of the problems are certainly not their members, but other members of the public that have caused problems down there. So we're hopeful that we can come up with a solution, and the city staff is going to monitor this situation over the next several months, and we hope to see an improvement in some of the things that have been reported to us. So with that, I think you can go ahead and vote on the consent calendar item.
Thank
since
you.
It really doesn't involve the arena.
I move we accept consent calendar.
Well, before
5.
We do that, since I did offer input, I do want to open up in case there is any member of the public here for public input. And seeing none approach, we'll close the public comment and
Go ahead, Councilmember Clay.
Move approval of number 5 on the consent calendar.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion on the floor. Councilmember Clay, seconded by Councilmember Sturdivant. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Asher, representing the Pastors Prayer Group here in Tascadero. I'm also the administrator of Country Care Convalescent Hospital. Just like to offer a prayer on behalf for the city. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your graciousness, your peace. We pray for places, Father, that are undergoing turmoil and difficulty with weather and high rivers. We pray, O God, that you give wisdom to not only the city council, but to the residents of the city, Father. We might work together and come to conclusion on things that are of concern to us. We just thank you for your grace and ask for your blessing. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. And we do appreciate the Ministerial Association keeping us in mind and prayer and for their coming out every Tuesday night.
Good evening, everyone. Bob Lloyd with AGP Video. People that are watching the live broadcast are having a problem seeing it. I am talking with a charter technician. He is on his way out to our facility as we speak. He apologizes for his delay, but there seems to be quite a few system problems with charter tonight. But if there is any questions, please don't hesitate to call our office at 805 area code 772-2715. That's 805 area code 772-2715.
Is it being recorded, though?
Yes, of course it is.
Okay, thank you.
We're supposed to record this? No, just kidding. Just a joke. Sorry. If there are any questions, I would like to ask the public, if you are having problems, I do need to know where you live because there are several what they call nodes in this vicinity or in the Atascadero area, and some are having problems and some are not. So if you could just please give us your mailing or your physical address where you're having the problem, that would give us a great try to find the problem here. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And at any time, I'm just speaking to our public, those that can see us, we at the city would like to hear if you've been having problems, because we have gotten a lot of reports over time that this has not come through clearly in all areas, and that's something we want to try to help with. We know that's important. So thank you for helping us with that. We'll close community forum, seeing no one else approach, and move on to public hearings. The first one, B1, weed abatement hearing of objections. Now, let me begin with, it does ask for ex parte communications on this. So has anyone heard from anyone on this topic?
This is a public hearing to hear objections for the removal of vegetative growth and refuse. Earlier in April, about 11,000 lots were surveyed using our computerized GPS system, marking parcels that were in violation and had weeds at the time. Notices were sent out, I might note, significantly fewer notices this year than the past two or three years. We sent 2,717 notices out, and our experience has been those properties, vast majority comply with the weed abatement requirements. And we rarely cut more than 100 to 150 parcels a year. This is the opportunity the public could object or ask for relief in front of the council if they chose. And with that would conclude my report, and it would be up to you for questions.
I have a question.
Councilmember Clay.
What's the drop deadline date on mowing and that stuff?
June 1st.
June 1st, and after June 1st, if you're in violation, that's... You know, this is a very different year. I mean, I've got wild oats that are 4 feet tall and stuff in some areas, so I think everybody is going to have to mow a little on the late side, or going to have to mow twice because it's...
We're really trying to press the message that it's important to think about it kind of in a year-round mode, or at least through the entire summer and spring, because certainly those that live on north slopes, the weeds are going to grow and come back. I know last year I mowed 5 times at my place. Mm-hmm. I have a large forest on one area, and it shades it, and it required me to mow about 4 or 5 times. And so we're really trying to get the signs up and encourage the public to mow as long as the weeds continue to come back, and that very well may mean mowing more than once or twice. And that typically happens when we have these cool late springs and spring rains, and we're probably going to get rain this weekend.
It's true, yeah. Most areas, the grass is still green. And, yep. You know, here we're a month from the deadline. So anyway, got to check it out, folks.
Thank you. Councilmember Sturdivant.
Yeah, Kurt, with this multiple mowing like we're doing at this point, this time of year, do you give anyone any kind of a warning before you go out after June 1st? Do you say, you know, we're going to be, if you don't do it within a week or whatever, we're going to come out and mow them for you?
We follow the Atascadero Municipal Code, which states that we have to do the survey, we have to mail the notice, bring it to council. So we consider that the warning. We make every effort to try to educate the public. When we're doing follow-up inspections, if we tag a property and then hand it over to them,
we have some type of a follow-up. So.
We also have the signs out around town. Three signs that are double-sided, and we also will be running newspaper ads as the deadline looms.
Thank you.
Councilwoman Fonsi.
Chief, is there anything different this year than any of the past years? This is a fairly typical thing that we do.
Yeah, this is, we just changed the date on the staff report and changed the numbers of parcels we inspected. Yeah, nothing has changed in the past 5 or 6 years.
Thank you.
Well, I will add, Chief, that since a citizen group came forward and raised a question about a bill they received last year, as you know, I reviewed their concerns very thoroughly, and you took a lot of time working with them and with me to go through the process, and I was very impressed with the detailed process staff have put in place. It also includes a written notice to whoever receives the tax bill on the property, and you go the extra mile that if that's not received, if it goes to a no return, that comes back, and then you follow up and work at getting that address corrected in addition to the door hangers you mentioned with Councilman Sturdivant. So it looked to me like you've really put a thorough process in place, and as tough as it is, we know how it is when sometimes something gets missed, but I think you've really gone way out of your way to make this work in our community, and so I appreciate all of that effort, and if it comes up, you were prepared to review that detail with anyone. With that, I will open it up to the community if there's anyone has a comment on this item. Seeing no one approach, we'll close public comment, bring it back to council, consider a motion.
I'd just like to say I'm glad we have the program in place. I think already there's been, what, 5 or 6 little fires of 5 acres. I mean, this is early in the year when things are still green, so I think it's going to be kind of scary out there, especially, unfortunately, most places are probably going to have to be mowed 3 or 4 times, and I just hope that everybody takes care of their weeds and we don't have any major problems here in town.
And with that, would you like to make a motion?
Yes, I'll make a motion that we approve the weed abatement program as submitted by the chief.
Second.
Motion by Mayor Pro Tem Kelly, seconded by Councilmember Sturdivant.
Stu, you may recall in 2009 the city commissioned a tourism study by SMG entitled Tourism and Marketing Plan for the City of Atascadero. That was done by an expert. His name was Mr. Carl Roboto, and you may know that Mr. Roboto is a highly respected in the field. In fact, he did a countywide tourism study for the SLO County Visitors and Conference Bureau, and he's done a number of these similar marketing plans for other cities. And that report essentially set out a blueprint, if you will, with goals and directions for the city to guide our tourism and promotion efforts as we move forward in these next few years. About that, shortly after the study was done, we retained the services of Steve Martin, and he's with S.W. Martin and Associates, and he is essentially our tourism, events, and marketing director. And in my staff report, which you have before you tonight, I've summarized a number of his responsibilities in addition to tourism that he performs to the cities, for the city, such as administration of the Main Street Association, as well as promoting city activities and that type of thing. His contract is runs through June of 2012, and tonight we wanted to just go over with you some of our goals and the tourism marketing action plan that we have put in place that Mr. Martin developed to essentially follow up on the SMG report. And we wanted to make sure that we had an opportunity to essentially take the temperature of our efforts to see how we're doing, make sure that our current community partners are involved and the goals of the future action plan are still valid for our city's efforts to enhance tourism. So with that introduction, I'll introduce Steve Martin, who will take you through where we've been, what we're doing currently, and where we're going.
And I'll just make a couple of slight corrections on your report. As you know, at the time, it was the Economic Vitality Corporation that was involved doing the countywide wine study and then followed up at EVC to also include smaller studies for each individual cities. Our city was just one of a couple that took advantage of that, but for a very low cost, we were able to get a very high-end report by an international expert because we were at the same time doing a countywide study. So it was, I think, fortuitous, a good decision by our city to do that at the time, and we've followed up with that at several strategic planning sessions to try to pull in many of our stakeholders that were working in parallel at the time, much like we were around the county. And just like the county is pulled together into a unified program with Visitors Conference Bureau, we've seen many of our organizations, Chamber, Main Street, Zoo Society, everyone that's been involved with marketing and tourism kind of pulling together, and that was one of our goals as the council. And welcome, Mr. Martin. Take it away from there.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. It is a very big pleasure for me to be here tonight. I'm happy to present to you a progress report on a three-year pilot program, which includes tourism, but tourism is not the total sum of the program. So we'll try to enlighten you on those facts a little bit later on. Before I begin this, I would like to make some acknowledgments, first of all, to the council for having the foresight and being aggressive about putting this type of program together, much as your roadmap to success and some of the other things you've talked about here tonight. Atascadero really is taking a step out on many of these directions and getting out ahead of the pack, and I think this is something that was really rather visionary a year and a half ago, and congratulations for doing that. I also want to acknowledge the help of your staff for the last year and a half, Brady Cherry, Marcia Torgerson, Jim Lewis and Wade McKinney. They've been great in working with me in helping me understand some of the things that are going on in the city and also being open to some of the direction that I was able to offer them. So I really appreciate that. I want to acknowledge the tourism collaborative that we put together more than a year ago, which involved a half a dozen different groups. Those people met for several months talking about the SMG plan and working on the first SAVOR event, coming up with copy lines and different ideas for promoting the city, and really gave us the basis for a common ground and collaboration for this pilot program. And last but not least, I have to thank Gail Kudlak, who is my assistant. She is in the audience tonight, and as everyone knows, I couldn't do it without her, and Gail is a huge part of the success of this program, so I want to acknowledge her. I'd like to start off tonight with something that was shared with people who attended. This will take a few minutes, but it will remind you of why we're involved in tourism. These facts were among facts given out to the people at the tourism reception at Hearst Castle last week, and they were very impressive indeed. I was standing next to a gentleman watching this very video on a big screen television. At the end of the video, he turned to me and said, "You know, next month I'm up for a vacation. I think I'll stay here." We have an amazing assortment of plays and stays in San Luis Obispo County, and the city of Atascadero is a partner in that. And we're just coming into our own and letting the world know about that. So those 2.3 million tourists, that $1 billion in revenue, is something that we have a share in if we want to pursue it. One of the things that we've been very fortunate to have over the last year is the support of people at the VCB level, San Luis Obispo Visitors and Conference Bureau level. Right now, Noreen Martin of Martin Resorts is the president of that board. I've been at many meetings with her, many occasions with her, and she often, unprompted, is very vocal about the success Atascadero has achieved in beginning its tourism marketing campaign. She granted me an interview and gave me permission to use this little snippet of what she had to say about Atascadero.
Steve, if I could just add on to that, I've gone to several of these meetings lately, being involved with the Economic Vitality Corp. In every meeting I go to, Noreen Martin runs over and picks me out and just how great Atascadero.
So I'm very proud of them for being able to do that, even under adversity, because 2010 was not the easiest year for anyone in these economic times. Continue to participate. The more you participate, the more you'll receive the benefit, and you'll see, and we're such a measurable, tourism is such a measurable result that you'll see it in your bottom dollar as you read your TOT reports.
Another very outspoken proponent of Atascadero and its tourism efforts, and also its effort to promote its natural ambiance, is Supervisor Jim Patterson, and he had some things to say about Atascadero.
Well, I've done a great job, I think, here in the last few years. You know, we started with Main Street, working with the Chamber and the city to build the downtown core. We've got the Galaxy Theater complex now, state-of-the-art theater. That's going to bring people certainly to Atascadero from other parts of the county. Absolutely no question. It's a fantastic venue. And Atascadero is realizing its potential. You know, we've invested in the zoo and we're making improvements there. We've got one of the best parks, I think, in our lake park of any community in the county. We have great events there. People come from outside of the city to hold events in that park, as well as our Lake Pavilion. It too is very popular. And we have one of the most recognizable historical buildings, and that's our city administration building. And I'm thrilled that we're getting underway to restore that and get that back in operation. And hopefully we can get the Historical Society back in there with their museum and draw people into that. And you know, aside from the missions and Hearst Castle, that architectural feature in Atascadero is one of the most noted in San Luis Obispo County, if not the entire Central Coast. Atascadero is always there. Atascadero is beginning to identify, or has identified, what's unique and what's appealing in Atascadero and what we can use to draw people here.
As many slides as I've prepared tonight. So we're going to drill down a little bit at the end, of course, answer any questions you may have, and I will have some questions for you. So let's get started. This is going to be an update on a pilot program. We talk about it as the tourism program. Actually, it's more than that. Tourism is just one component of this. The program is about halfway through its cycle, and it seems like this is the appropriate time to bring the council this update. I update staff regularly, monthly, if not weekly. But this is a good time for the council to kind of get a full dose of what's been going on and give you the opportunity to weigh in for any mid-course corrections we might need for the next year, year and a half. So we'll do a little project overview. We'll tell you a little bit about the history and how we got here. We'll spend some time on the current status of operations and what's happening there, and then at the end we'll ask for your comments. In previous efforts, you heard a little bit earlier about the Strategic Marketing Group study. We initiated the pilot program, and as part of that, we put together an action plan based directly on the SMG study. I can't stress this strongly enough. I know over the years, being involved with different political groups, people are often accused of buying those expensive studies and then not doing anything with them. Well, you bought a good study, and we are following that study just as closely as we can to utilize the wisdom that was put into it. We put together a mission statement for 2009 to 2010, some marketing philosophies or rules that we live by, and put together a very specific implementation process so that we could be able to check ourselves along the way. Previous tourism promotion efforts looked something like this. Prior to S.W. Martin & Associates and the pilot program we're involved in right now, it was a small tourism committee that was chaired by a city staff person usually. The budget of that committee was defined by the 1% of TOT that is set aside for promoting tourism, and major projects of that committee included developing rack cards, visitor guide ads. We did mid-state fair sponsorship for several years, participated in e-specials and print co-ops, but there was no public information office or business development component to that group. It was strictly and purely tourism. Now, a lot of people get confused about this 1% of TOT. As you know, when you rent a room from a hotel in Atascadero, there is a 10% charge on top of that. That is the TOT, the transient occupancy tax. Of that 10%, one-tenth is dedicated to promoting tourism. So if you have $4 million in... Our marketing plan stems directly from the SMG study. The SMG study, when you boil it down, says that Atascadero has three things to sell when it comes to tourism. We didn't make this up. This is what the study says. It says that you have your geographic location. You are centrally located. You are almost equidistant from many major attractions in Central California coast, including the Pacific Ocean, lots of wineries, Hearst Castle, a lot of other things. If you stick a pin in the map on Atascadero, you can draw a circle around Atascadero, and you've got a lot of those major attractions that fall right into your backyard. Second thing you have to sell are special events, quality of life, things that are happening here or could happen here that draw people to Atascadero. Some of the more successful events that are now morphing into regional events would include the Atascadero Wine Festival, Hot El Camino Night, Colony Days, Winter Wonderland. You may not realize it, but each one of these events has actually started drawing vendors and visitors from far outside of Atascadero. Colony Days vendors come from far away. Winter Wonderland visitors and vendors come from Southern California, Northern California. The Wine Festival has people buying tickets from far out of state. So people are discovering this area, they like this area, they're returning to this area, and this is part of the reason they're coming back, is they like these activities. The third thing you have to sell, and this is something that, again, having lived here all my life, didn't really think too much about, but it's true, and that's the local history and culture. If you've taken the time to study anything about the history of Atascadero, you know that its genesis is quite unique, its founder quite a colorful character, and its development a story in itself. And it is that type of history that draws history buffs and history tourists. Those are the three things that SMG says this community has to offer in the realm of tourism. How did we initiate this pilot program and fund it? Well, the funding came through a consolidation, in some cases a reallocation of funds. There was a movement of funds out of the Main Street organization. The 1% of TOT funds still committed to the effort. There was some dispersed funding throughout the city's budget, you know, a little dab here for public information, a little dab here for public information. So that was kind of all put together into one pot to make for a bigger resource. And based on that funding, the city entered into a contract with my company, S.W. Martin & Associates, on a three-year pilot program with multiple initiatives, including but not just dedicated solely to tourism. And here's another point I want to clear up. And implement tourism programs that differentiate Atascadero by promoting the authenticity of the destination and its attractions, history, and local culture, and take into consideration the interests and needs of current and potential visitors, local tourism-related businesses, and local governments with respect for the environment and the values of the community. That comes right out of SMG. marketing philosophies, the rules we play by. Number one, we use SMG as the guide. We go back to that constantly to check whether or not our action plan is based on that study. We go back to that constantly to ascertain whether or not we are producing the results that should come from that study. Another rule is we stay within budget. We put together a budget that's very well defined, and we make sure that we don't go over. We use modern technology, websites, social media, email, things like that. We consult with community organizations and tourism-related businesses. We're not out there on our own thinking up stuff in the middle of the night and calling it good. We work to enhance relationships with other tourism agencies, such as the VCB, and we provide city staff and the city council with regular updates on our progress. Those are our philosophies. Those are the rules we live by. Our implementation process, how we go about getting started, again, we understand the need by using the SMG study. We always go back to that study. You are going to get your money's worth out of that study. We create specific initiatives after a collaborative process. We develop a timeline, budget, and work plan. We evaluate the progress of the plan, and then if necessary, we modify or add strategies. We don't keep blindly bullying ahead, even if it's not working. Our strategic initiatives in the first action plan slated for 2010 to 2012 included assuring local collaboration, using modern technology, modifying Atascadero's branding, enhancing organizational affiliations, and enhancing or creating special events. Again, these initiatives stem directly from the SMG study. You read that study, this is going to sound very familiar to you. Our first action was to apply for and receive a grant to pay for professional facilitators to put together a local collaborative group. You'll remember the presentation we made about a year ago on this group. This is our collaborative at the sort of graduation point. We spent months together working on looking at the SMG plan and looking at the first SAVOR event, putting that together, talking about branding, talking about copy lines. And this is the group of people that formed our collaborative, sort of our base, to start working on tourism analytics to show how many hits we would be getting, where they came from, more information about who the users actually were. We added community videos about Atascadero and photos of the different events. We put a master event calendar together. We also added local articles and tons of tourism links to local organizations. After that, we got our restaurant people together and asked what they wanted. One of the things they wanted was a better website presence. So we developed a website called dineatascadero.com. On dineatascadero.com, we have 45 different restaurants listed. Each restaurant has its own jump page. We have a restaurant calendar where restaurants can post their dining specials. So if a visitor goes to that site, they can at a glance see which restaurant is offering which special. Each jump page has a recording mechanism that tells how many times people visited that page. Over the last 7 months, the 45 restaurants have received about 7,000 views on their jump pages. Those jump pages either link directly to their websites or to maps or other information about how to get to that restaurant. Since we're located to a lot of wineries, we decided we ought to reach out and talk to some wineries, so we formed the Atascadero Wine Association and formed a website for them, and that is wineatascadero.com. Currently, we have 10 wineries involved in that. We have an Atascadero Wine Trail. You can get that map at that website, and these wineries have participated with us in several events over the last year, including the SAVOR event, wine tasting events, and the glitter party at Galaxy Theaters. We've created a tourism Facebook account and Twitter account, and we've acquired a database of travel writers to pitch stories to and ultimately invite specific writers to come to Atascadero for familiarization tours of our tourism assets. This is a look at the front page of dineatascadero.com. You can see we have our branding up there on top. Each one of those logos links either to a website or to address information, map information for those restaurants. Each restaurant which participates has the option of having its own password so they can sign in and post their items to our dining calendar. This is the Atascadero Wine Association website. We have links to all the wineries, information about local events, and our Atascadero wine map. Once again, you see our branding there. This is the second incarnation of the Visit Atascadero site. The first incarnation, with all the features that I mentioned a minute ago, still looked a little municipal. It had our sunken gardens on the front page, and had a lot of comments about, well, it's a nice website, but it kind of looks stodgy. Down, you'll see the beginning of a list of events along the left side there, the Wine Festival, Brass along the Central Coast, Heidel Camino Night, a short description of the event, and then if the lodging people are offering special packages for people who are coming to the area, you'll see the little hand with the bell there. And by clicking on that, you go directly to a page that links to the lodging package information. So people can go to the hotel booking engine, to their website, and book their rooms. Since visitatascadero.com was revamped about 7 months ago, we've had about just under 3,000 visitors and just under 14,000 page views. We've accumulated opt-in addresses for monthly email outs of tourism information, about 2,000 email addresses. These are some of the comments we've had about our website. Again, Noreen Martin, very generous with her praise. She says, I've visited your site. It looks great, easy to navigate, and nice videos. Pam Lyon from the Best Western Plus Colony Inn emailed me to say, I think the new improved site is looking fab. Good job in refreshing the new and improved look and feel of Atascadero. Another job we undertook was to entertain the possibility of modifying our branding. That artwork you see up there, minus the words Get Stuck on Us, has been associated with Atascadero for some years now. After a lot of discussion, the collaborative group decided they did not want to change that. There are still some issues with that artwork that I would like to see changed to make it more legible, more visible in some of the different ad sizes, but for right now, we've elected not to change that artwork. Atascadero Get Stuck on Us is a copy line that was developed by the collaborative committee. The committee was very adamant about wanting to remain authentic to Atascadero. They didn't want to say anything too flowery. They didn't want to say anything that was bragging on something that didn't exist. They wanted to be very authentic Atascadero. And so they decided to tie in with this whole idea that Atascadero means mud hole, which has been a derisive negative thing over the years. They turned it on its head. They made it something funny. It's something funny for locals, and it's something warm and inviting for people outside of the area. So the main copy line for the last year has been Atascadero Get Stuck on Us. But the committee and other members of the community, including people in the lodging community, felt that we needed to not abandon the whole idea that we are geographically close to a lot of major tourism assets. So we use sub-branding lines in our ads, things like the Central Central Coast, the center of it all, and the gateway to the best of the Central Coast. So if you look at the SMG study, you'll see there are actually like two camps of promotion there. The SMG study calls on buildings, which is a group of people from the different cities. We get together to talk about the city's needs. We have an association with CalFest. In fact, an event that's coming up in June, Brass on the Central Coast. That's the second time it'll be hosted here in Atascadero. We got that event because of our association with CalFest. The director found out that we existed. He needed a venue. He called us up, and we grabbed it. And they enjoyed it so much that they're coming back. We also participate in advertising co-ops with the Visitors and Conference Bureau, the California Travel and Trade Commission, and the Central Coast Travel Commission, and many others. Part of the job is to enhance or create special events. Savor the Central Coast, we're going to talk about that in just a minute, but obviously that was a huge event last year. We made a very good showing. We impressed a lot of people, and it's a special event that is just 2 miles from our back door and is going to continue growing year after year, so it's going to be a great benefit to us. We put together a professional booth space. We handed out branded Atascadero giveaways. We provided a venue for local restaurants, hotels, the golf course, and wineries to provide their promotional materials to the thousands of people that came through that Savor event. Other special events, Brass on the Central Coast. We've had a summer concert series downtown. We assist with the Atascadero Wine Festival, doing press releases and artwork. We work with the city on the Heidel Camino Night celebration. Main Street held a street dance last year. We've worked with the Colony Days committee. Actually, I've been the chairman of that committee for the last 4 or 5 years. We've done some major overhauls, changed the parade route, did some other things to improve that event. And, of course, Winter Wonderland grows year after year after year, and that's something that's attracting people from further and further away. This is our Savor the Central Coast booth from 2010. Those of you who worked there who went to the event will remember this. This was a 20 by 20 booth. It was divided into four areas to display four different faces of the city of Atascadero. It was surrounded by a black walkway and antique street lights, gave it sort of a small town square look. We featured our hotels and restaurants in one section, our local history in another. We had our zoo people in there with all the animals in another section of the booth. That was very popular. And then a general tourism area where people could pick up their gift bags and could get printed information about local businesses. Jim Wilkins was one of the representatives in our historical section. The zoo was very popular. If the crowd ever did start to slack, all we had to do was bring out the owl, and all of a sudden we had an audience. Steve Burns of O'Donnell Lane impressions. As the community closest to Savers Main Street main event, you quickly seized upon the unprecedented opportunity to put a Tascadero in front of 7,200 visitors, six TV stations, and more than 60 print journalists. Congratulations. Sunset Magazine also commented that, quote, "Atascadero really stepped up to the plate," end quote, for Saver 2010, and they strongly encouraged us to provide you even more opportunities to shine this fall. As we entered into next year of the action plan, we decided that we would focus in a little bit more. As you remember, part of the plan was to modify and change as necessary, and so that's exactly what we did as we turned the corner on the first year. Our initiatives in the second year's plan were, number one, tourism; number two, special events; number three, public information services; number four, marketing of the community; and number five, business development. We added a couple of lines to our mission statement. In addition to what we started with, we added that we will develop and enhance programs to improve communications within the city organization and to the residents of the city of Atascadero, and we will develop and enhance programs that improve the atmosphere and culture of positive business development with the city of Atascadero. Initiative number one, tourism. Improve and expand the tourism website. Enhance search engine optimization. Explore smartphone applications for the city. Expand Atascadero Wine Association membership and maintain active participation in the SLOVCB and Saver event. Also part of initiative number one, tourism. Expand hotelier participation in the collaborative process. Assist as necessary with ABID, that's Business Improvement District formation for the local lodging people. Create new rack cards. Assist with marketing lodging packages and maintain advertising and ad editorial with and familiarization tours for writers. I'd like to back up to the second bullet point there, assist as necessary with ABID formation efforts. As far as I know, the city of Atascadero is the only jurisdiction in the county that does not have an organization of hotel owners. Business Improvement District organizations from other cities and from the unincorporated areas are pooling their resources to provide substantial support for tourism throughout the county of San Luis Obispo. They also have a very strong communication network. And one of the things we need to be looking forward to in the future is, can we interest our lodging people in putting together their own bid? And this is something the lodging people have to do. We can't do that. This is something they have to initiate. But it's my opinion that it's something that would be of great value to them. Initiative number two this year, but part of our goal is to make sure that Winter Wonderland remains self-funded and does not impact the city's funds. Assist local organizations with branding coordination. The goal and idea here is that as we work together with different organizations that are doing tourism-related activities, Colony Days, the Wine Festival, etc., that we provide them with branding opportunities to tie into the city's copy lines and artwork. So even though it's the Colony Days committee putting on the Colony Days parade, it is perceived as being an Atascadero tourism event. Initiative number three, public information services. Now we sort of get outside of the whole tourism realm. Create press releases for city departments and the administration. Produce media kits, PR plans for city programs as necessary. Provide public relations consultation for city departments as necessary. And provide on-demand public information services during a city emergency. This is initiative number three of the pilot program as it exists right now. Initiative number four, marketing of the community. Continue to expand Facebook and Twitter services for tourism. Review and evaluate city publications as requested. And continue integration of tourism copy lines and artwork. Initiative number five, business development. Increase participation in dineatascadero.com. We want more restaurants involved in that organization. Promote the roadmap for success, online business tools, and other business development programs as requested. And, of course, provide management services for the Atascadero Main Street program. Our budget assumptions for this most recent budget include that all budget amounts are best estimates. We don't have a crystal ball, so I can't tell you down to the penny what some of this stuff will cost. TOT funds will only be used for items listed in the tourism component of the budget. There's been some confusion about this. Tourism money has been spent on Main Street. Tourism money has been spent on this. Tourism money has been spent on that. The fact of the matter is, every cent of TOT set aside to promote tourism goes only into the tourism component of this plan. Emergency public information services will be billed at the time services are rendered. So what that really means is, I ain't charging you nothing to be in on standby. If another earthquake hits, I'll be here to help, and there will probably be some billing at that time. But in the meantime, you don't pay me anything to keep my motor running. Again, Winter Wonderland will be self-funded, and the Savor 2011 and Centennial Celebration expenses will be addressed in a separate action plan and budget. So again, tourism funds are not being spent in those areas. These are going to be separate budgets, separate action plans. Let's talk association. Zero for supporting the VCB, zero for supporting ABID services, $7,500 for RAC cards, $23,000 committed to advertising for tourism. Those add up to $38,000. That is 1% TOT for the period that is being used to set up this budget. All of those funds go to tourism. Now, in addition to that, for the tourism promotion component, the city kicks in some money. $4,000 for the website, $3,500 for the Wine Association, $5,000 for VCB services, $5,000 for ABID services, should those be required, because the lodging people have to bring that forward. $2,000 for RAC cards, $5,200 for advertising, for a total commitment to the tourism promotion component of this plan of 24/7. So the tourism component of the pilot program, TOT plus city funds, $62,700. Events. From TOT for master calendar, nothing. From TOT for branding assistance services, nothing. The city pays the full freight on that, $12,500 total for events. Public information, nothing from TOT for press releases, media kit prep, or staff support. The city funds all that to the tune of $18,000. Marketing of the community, nothing from TOT for social media, publications assistance, or brand integration. The city foots that to the tune of $14,000. Business development, nothing from TOT for restaurants, business development, other program support, or Main Street. Nothing from TOT for Main Street. The city foots all that, $25,800. So your budget summary looks like this. From your TOT funds, $38,000 goes directly into tourism. That's all that comes from TOT. From the city, everything else adds up to $95,000. Your total package for the pilot program, $133,000. Results. Let's talk about what's actually happened. Results to date. Now, I could give you a lot more than this, but I didn't want to go too much past midnight. Hotels, we have had a net TOT increase over the last two fiscal years. And if you look at the TOT figures from the San Luis Obispo County Visitors Conference Bureau, you see that several of those quarters, we had healthier increases than other cities did. So that's an encouraging sign.
Mr. Martin, I assume when you say hotels, you mean anyone that's paying?
Anyone generating TOT. Hotels, motels, bed and breakfast. We have assembled, with the help of the Chamber of Commerce, binders filled with the menus of all of our restaurants. Those binders are placed in the hotels at the front desk. So when guests say, where can we go to eat lunch? Where can we go to eat breakfast? Where can we? Instead of saying, I don't know, they pull out the binder and people can see for themselves where they can go. Business development. We've worked several different campaigns at the direction of the city. We did a What's Up Downtown campaign, which included radio and print. We did a restaurant development campaign, and we also did an open for business campaign, which involved radio and also involved direct mail pieces soliciting businesses to relocate to Atascadero. In advertising and promotion, we advertise in all the major visitor guides. We just advertised last month in U.S. Airways magazine. This was quite a coup. The county bid organizations, the lodging organizations, managed to negotiate with U.S. Airways a 24-page full-color spread on San Luis Obispo County in the April edition of the U.S. Airways magazine. 3.2 million impressions. We had editorial in that. We also had our own standalone ad, and that is a major, major exposure. We're in the middle of rack card development right now, and we have developed visitor center videos which can be played at the Pismo Beach outlets where there's a California visitor center. And there may be another opportunity coming up for that later. Savor the Central Coast 2010, we accomplished professional booth design and development. We assemble promotional materials and giveaways. We provide shuttle services from Atascadero to the Santa Margarita Ranch. We coordinated volunteers, we were liaison with the VCB, and we provided associated public relations for the Central Coast event. Public information services. Over the last 7 months, actually the last year, we've developed more than 100 press releases and photo ops with the city. We provided multiple consults with city staff. We coordinated the press day for City Hall. You may remember the coverage we got from various TV and radio stations and newspapers when we actually took the media on a caravan through City Hall prior to the repairs being started. We got a lot of coverage out of that. We work on the Community Outreach Committee, which distributes information about the progress on City Hall to the community, to the schools. We help promote the San Luis Obispo International Film Festival here in Atascadero. And we assisted with the Galaxy opening by throwing a glitter party at the opening of that facility. Here are a couple of examples of the ads that we've run in different magazines. Again, you'll see our branding attached. My understanding is that the traffic on that has dropped. The fact of the matter is that most people who are planning vacations are depending very heavily on the internet these days. More examples of ads we've placed. Again, calling out the different activities and different components of Atascadero.
Hey, Steve, could you address the wrong numbers that were in the ads?
You're talking about the State Visitor's Guide?
I guess.
Yes. We placed a cooperative ad with the San Luis Obispo County Visitors and Conference Bureau and the State Visitor Guide. Part of that ad was to have been our URL, visitatascadero.com. Through an error by the magazine, it was published as atascadero.com. They have acknowledged that mistake, and they are giving us services in reader cards and other advertising the value of the ad itself.
So for the record, it was their mistake.
That is correct.
Not our mistake or your mistake.
That's
correct.
Thank you. Yes. That was unfortunate. Everybody wishes it hadn't happened. But again, to their credit, you know, they owned up to it, and they're giving us goods and services in the amount of the value of our ad. Frank Grimkus, the CEO of Galaxy Theaters, very appreciative of the City of Atascadero's efforts to get them up and running here. He sent me a nice letter. He says, you were one member of a short list of key civic leaders who met with me and offered your perspective. Community response to the theater has exceeded our expectations. It can be difficult to be the new guy in town, but from our very first meeting, you made it a snap. Thanks for the hospitality to our company and the commitment you give to Atascadero. It shows. And now on to the next promotion, and the next, and the one after that. We know you never stop. So to summarize, our pilot program draws directly from the SMG study. We are on schedule with the projects and the timeline that we put together back at the beginning. We are on budget. The results of our efforts have been well received. We are getting good response from inside and outside of the city, and we are getting results, as you can see from the increase in TOT and from the number of people that are hitting our website and that we have now in our email address book. And now, we have some questions for the council. But first, do you have any questions of me?
Go ahead, Councilman Clay.
Questions or suggestions, is that all right, Steve?
Have at.
Yeah, okay. In regards to get stuck on Atascadero and your other little deals that are below it, something to the effect... Atascadero gateway to the wine industry or gateway, you know, you understand what I mean? I think that would be a good one for the website.
Gail, are you taking notes?
Yeah, you got a photographic memory, you know.
Yeah, I just haven't developed it yet.
I mean, we're halfway between L.A. and Frisco, and we're right in the middle of,
yes,
of everything. And I think we should really focus on that, part. And then in regards to, the brass event, that was musical instruments, right?
Yes.
I think that's really good. I mean, we could do other things, with guitars and violins and whatever, you know what I mean? String events or something in that order, you know, and position around town, maybe have a contest or something like that. I think it'd be great. So kind of think on those terms.
Okay.
The hub, the gateway. Rack cards, I'm hearing that they're not, that they're going out, that people are using the internet more. They are. How important are they?
In the past, we've ordered as many as 40,000 rack cards per year. My intention this year is to order them in shorter runs and order fewer of them. We still need to stock the visitor centers that we have a contract with to stock, but I don't think we need as many as we have we've used in the past.
Right. The other thing is I think we need to take ownership of the wine industry, you know, wine country, because there's not a winery in Paso Robles, period. You know, there's wineries in Creston. There's actually wineries on the vineyards on the mm-hmm. Back River Road here in Atascadero. Mm-hmm. And I think that we should just flat take ownership of the wine industry.
One thing I should have brought out more, not as you said that, I realize it, is the fact that we really need to be, and we are trying to be, more regional in our approach. Yes, we're very proud of Atascadero. It's a very beautiful community. It has things that brings people here. But the fact of the matter is, like you said, you know, the wineries are as close to us as they are to someone else.
Absolutely.
The ocean is as close to us as it is to somebody else. And so when we talk about being the central coast or the hub or the center of it all, we need to be encompassing those areas. And if you look at visitatascadero.com mm-hmm. right now, when you go to those when you go to those headings, yes, you will find our wine association, but you'll also find Paso. You'll mm-hmm. also find San Luis Obispo. Yeah. You will find our events, but you'll also find 50 other events outside of the city.
Sure.
We want people that are thinking about coming here for any event on the Central Coast to consider Atascadero as a stop on the way.
I agree, and I think take ownership to everything we can. I mean, we are.
Yeah, I'm so excited to hear that we're actually using a report we paid for, you know, to get our money's worth out of it. That just
we're wearing that thing.
Yes, I'm very glad to hear that. The website searching optimization, is that something that's going on now? So it makes
I've done a certain amount of that myself to the extent of my abilities, but right now I'm in conversation with two other companies who specialize in search engine optimization, and I want to bring them on so that we can move that forward.
Okay.
Right now we have metadata tags in all the pages and articles. We have other strategies that I'm aware of for search engine optimization, but true search engine optimization is a career unto itself, and we need some expertise in that area.
Well, I'm glad that you're going outside and getting some information on that. You're having other people involved. That's good. The collaborative process you mentioned, who's involved in that, and how often is that? Is it you get together? Is it weekly, monthly, quarterly?
The collaborative process started off with a half a dozen different groups that I named before: City, Main Street, Chamber, Colony Days, Historical Society, Wine Festival, the Zoo. When we finished our first go-around with that, when we finished with our meetings with our facilitators, one of the things the group wanted to do was keep going. The group decided they wanted to meet quarterly, and that at each quarterly meeting that we could focus on a different aspect of tourism. We've had two meetings so far this year, one specifically for the hotel people. The budget you saw here was presented to the hotel people like 6 months ago, and specifically asked them, what do you think? Do we need to change this? What's your input? The second one was held specifically for the restaurants. So right now the schedule is to meet quarterly with the collaborative and to bring a wider circle of people into the discussion.
Okay, so the different whether different types of businesses, they themselves have a chance to talk amongst themselves, bring information to that collaborative meeting, and then there you can hash it out. And
right, and
excellent.
We encourage that.
Excellent. And you had mentioned about ABID services that the city's funding to the tune of somewhere around $24,000. Could you clarify that? I'm not certain what that means.
ABID services?
Yeah, there was on one of your slides you had.
I believe that in the budget itself, it calls for about $5,000 potentially to be spent in supporting liaison with ABID.
What? Could you clarify what that is? It wasn't something that's occurring at this point, correct?
No, that's something that's set aside. If the ball ever gets rolling there, then we'll have something to fund the interaction between myself and what other participants might be involved.
Okay.
Yeah.
And my last question is, when the 888 number rings, who answers it?
Chamber of Commerce.
And if you do get it on your smartphone, we are very heavily represented on there, and it's a wealth of information, and I hope that we still proceed further with the technology that is available out there. I'd like to see an app just for Atascadero, and I think you're working on that.
I've been looking into the cost of app development for the different platforms. It's a little pricey to do it right. I mean, you can do it wrong cheaply. It's a little pricey to do it right. We do participate strongly with the VCB. I'm a blogger for the North County for the VCB, so you're right. We do get good representation there. But as we move into the future, we need to be thinking about that for ourselves.
And I know it gets a little frustrating because we all want to have it done overnight, but I think you're doing a heck of a job and staying ahead of the curve. And just if you do get frustrated, just keep going, please, because you're doing a good job.
Well, I appreciate it. That keeps me going. Anything else? I have some questions for you.
I think we have another Councilman Clay comment, and then Councilman Fonzie.
I haven't even got my dumb phone, you know, working right. But just another suggestion, you know, and this comes from the public, too. Someone talked to me that why aren't events in the Sunken Gardens more out on El Camino? They're always in the back, you know. This person thought if they were moved out, they'd get more attention of people going by, and that would help. And then on the U.S. Airway magazine, there was something in there about Atascadero was the best-kept secret. Did you read that part?
Oh, in the editorial itself.
Yeah,
yes.
In the editorial itself. The Chalk Mountain was the best-kept secret, and some other things in Atascadero were the best-kept secrets.
Yeah, I understand that the golf course has actually gotten some calls about that already.
Right. So I think, you know, that was pretty nice. Yeah. Pretty nice to have.
Yeah, that was a big deal for us and for the county, really.
Let's not keep ourselves secrets anymore.
We're shouting it from the rooftop.
There you go.
Councilwoman Fonzie.
Thank you, Steve, for this very interesting presentation. I've learned a lot. A couple of thoughts. As we move into the centennial, I'm hoping that we can pick up on that and get that into the website, into other advertising as a centennial city. And it's up to you and perhaps others that are more of an expert in that field to decide the timing of that. But I hope that we can capitalize on our centennial and get some activities out there that are centennial related.
As if I could, at a recent meeting, you went ahead and okayed the formation of a steering committee. So I've had several people since then ask me, are we going to do this, are we going to do that? And my answer is, when the steering committee meets, we'll...
Atascadero, that we do have that, that we still have picnics and things going on in our lake park. And I would hope that someday we'll go back to having something for our 4th of July, that we kind of spread out all over the county for that one right now and don't have a parade or any others. But it would be my hope that someday we will be back to that. But I'm hoping we can capitalize on the old-fashioned values that we hold dear to our hearts here. The directory that's out at the front counter in the motels, I wonder if that is something super expensive. It may be. But when I am out of town, I often look at something that may be in the drawer and say, oh, there's the pizza place or whatever it is.
Right.
So if it were in the rooms, I think it might be helpful. Or perhaps
it's interesting. There's a project brewing. It's interesting because you should say that. I'll tell you more later.
Okay, very good. And I've also seen these on TV loops, and I don't know how this works, but sometimes you turn on TV and you've got the hotel and other things going on in the city first thing before you change the channel.
I am preparing a demo for in-house video for local hotels right now.
Okay, very good. I know that we have things going on at the lake that sometimes doesn't make it in. I know that we're getting something with Symphony in the Vines that's coming to the pavilion shortly, which is something very new for Atascadero, a little more highbrow than we're used to, but I think it'll be an interesting activity. We need to capitalize on that with that segment of the population. And also we have the weekly bands and barbecues and so forth that we need to push and perhaps get out there.
Yep.
But as a whole, I think that we're making great progress. I want to stay the course with our study. I think that it's a good roadmap.
Great.
Good job.
Thank you. Now can I ask?
Sure.
No, I wanted to say.
Oh, you want to say something, too?
Of course, I wanted to say something, and I do appreciate, I think you've done a good job of pulling in many stakeholders, and certainly any stakeholder that wants to be involved. And as you know, we've worked on being even more inclusive, being a member of the Central Coast Wedding Professionals that meets once a month for the North County group at the Pavilion. We've put up an idea, and I've spoken with our historical society about promoting unique weddings in historic settings, and we hope to be promoting an annual wedding, as has been done at Colony Days. It would be basically a free wedding for someone in a historic setting, and there are so many unique places we have in Atascadero, and we have many guests coming from all over, literally the world, but certainly out of state to some of these unique areas, and we have a lot to offer in that area. And I agree with Councilman Kelly as we and I think it is to take advantage of that. I think that's where many of our new customers will be coming from. So again, I just commend your work, and this was an opportunity for council to give some input, and I think we did. And you have
I appreciate the input, and it's all valuable and it's all good. Some things are in process that you may not be aware of. Like I said, I didn't want to keep you here past midnight. But some things are new ideas, and that's the reason that we bring as many people into the room as possible, so we can get all the ideas, sift them out, you know, get the good ones working for us. So I appreciate that. I did want to get some direction on this because we are about halfway through our cycle on this pilot program. I thought it would be a good time to touch base with the council on several questions. First of all, I think you've answered it. The SMG study will continue to be our guide for tourism marketing, at least for the foreseeable future.
Let's go through these one at a time. Is there council consensus on that? I think so.
Good. Okay. Get stuck on us. We thought it was fun. We all did the pinky promise and said we like this. We made that presentation to the council. I know among some people in the community there's a certain ambivalence about this. Do we keep using this or not?
Well, let me input first that, again, when you say we, this was the result of a collaborative effort. We asked everyone in the community that was interested at the time to come together, come up with an idea, and we on council have tried to support that community process. If that community process changes, and as we've heard has happened over time now and then, I think the council wants to support that, but I certainly don't want to be a boat tossed about by a different wind blowing day to day. But if the community has really gone through a process and has a new idea for us, I think we'd certainly want to hear that. And with that, Councilman Clay.
Yeah, well, I've always looked at Atascadero as a beautiful place, and it bothers me when people talk about getting bogged down and stuck and everything, because I never see it that way. To me, it's one of the most beautiful areas in the in the state, you know. I mean, occasionally we go, out of town, and when I come back up, you know, from Paso and come up and see those beautiful west side trees and east side trees, I just get a real tranquil feeling. So I don't like the stuck part, and I think something with beauty in it and something with hitting on the wine industry or something would be better. But or use the stuck on, but put those other things underneath it that are important.
Okay.
But beauty, get beauty in there somewhere, because we got a beautiful, beautiful area.
Well, I think we could have a lot of ideas, and we all do. I think, as I've always said, is as we try to move to have other people discover us, it's important to hear how they view things. We kind of view our town we grew up in, and certainly I agree with Councilmember Clay. But I hope in the future we have an opportunity, whether it's a survey process, random sample, following up on some of these emails, as we ask every guest that comes our way, so how did you find
the county and go to the different meetings and everything and solicit opinions of that? Get laughed at quite a bit about it being a mud hole. I think if we want to market ourselves, you know, outside of the city or something, I think it's worth looking at again. And I think whatever small group you had that put this together, it probably worked real good. But once it really got out there in the open market and more people saw it, they have a different opinion at it. So, you know, I'm not saying yes or no, but I think it's worth looking at again and seeing if that's really the route we want to take. I know when we went down to the tourism deal at the Marriott, they had two very professional guys down there, and they just kept pushing the wine deal, the wine deal, the wine deal. And I think we might want to try to trend our advertising or thought maybe in that direction. But like I say, I think it should be looked at.
Okay.
Yeah, Steve, I think as you go forward with the collaborative process and these groups get together and you're fine-tuning things, I think it might be a good idea to possibly throw that question out to try to fine-tune. They get stuck on us. It works on some levels, and some levels it doesn't. But I do like the fact that you are using other branding as well, or other phrases as well with that. So continue to do that and get some input from the groups you're working with, and let's see what comes out of that.
Sounds good.
And I would just add, forgive me, I didn't get you. You'll be next. But I enjoy looking at E.G. Lewis ads for Atascadero, and they often have those things Councilman Clay is talking about. But he was a marketeer. He had a vision, and that really, as you say, when people talk about authentic, Jerry Clay's about as authentic as you get right here in Atascadero, and you look at our roots.
Sinking fast.
Well, we're not going to get stuck there. But I think
it worked.
See, Jerry, even you come back to it. But I think take a look at some of those historic ads that I think have a way of gaining that authenticity and get the very comments Councilman Clay is getting at. Councilwoman Fonzi.
I think the get stuck on us is cute, but it's not descriptive. So it means something to us because we know of our background, but somebody from Los Angeles or San Diego doesn't have a clue what this means. They may think, oh, that's kind of cute, but it doesn't stick on them.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So I was looking for something a little more descriptive of what we are.
I think, you know, what I've heard several of you say is think about it, measure the response to it, run it back through the collaborative.
Okay, working
I'm
on
up
that.
99 again?
Yeah, you're working
I
on...
I dropped to 98 there for about a week.
Yeah, for a day or two, but you're working on that other percent, okay? Keep up the good work.
Thanks, Jerry. Okay, what further website refinements would you like to see? If you've had a chance to peek at the website, let me know. If you haven't, please do and let me know. I think one of the things I heard tonight about the unique weddings...
In historic settings.
In historic settings. That could be a whole section by itself on the website.
Well, I do think we went, and I think we brought this up at the strategic planning session with staff. I think there's strong council support, and I don't know that folks even realize on staff yet how strong that support is. We want to be leaders in the technological area on this, and I think, as Bob has brought up, the application area where we can really reach out to folks that are using the smartphone technology mm-hmm. to get their information. We want to be right there.
And, you know, I think we can emphasize our zoo a little bit more.
Yes.
When I was over at Hearst Castle the other night when you were there at the VCB meeting, I was talking to a lady that works in the parks division or whatever they have down in Pismo Beach and got talking about Atascadero. She says, oh, I just love your zoo up there. I always take my grandchildren up there. She says, in fact, at the booth that I work, I always make sure that I have brochures on your zoo in Atascadero. So when people with young kids come by and they're looking for stuff to do, she says, I give them brochures to go from Pismo Beach to Atascadero to see our zoo. So I think our zoo and our lake park, they're hidden jewels on the Central Coast. I think almost everybody in California dreams to have something like that in their town. And I think we can emphasize that maybe a little bit more.
True, with the Lake Park Zoo Memorial mm-hmm. and Galaxy Theater and you name it, and the golf course, we are truly the family-friendly location.
There's another one.
Well, I think what was really interesting was the first film clip that you showed as I sat here. I just said, we got to be the luckiest people in the world.
Yep, absolutely.
We live that every day.
Councilman Sturdivant.
Yes, when it comes to the refinements, you know, with these smartphones, information is at your fingertips immediately. I'm amazed at how intuitive these phones are, where you're looking for something, and the easier it is to find it, the more it's optimized, the simpler, the faster. Phone numbers, websites, addresses, locations, mapping, GPS, menus.
If I were coming to Atascadero from somewhere else, I might want to know, well, what could I do when the Winter Wonderland is the wrong season? The wine festival isn't here, or whatever it may be. And the passive activities that we have is, you know, you may bring up your bicycle and you have different places you want to ride, or you may want to spotlight the golf, or it could be just a jog around the lake or have a picnic in the park. I think we need to accent a little bit
things
of
to do in
those
Atascadero.
Kind of things that we can do year-round.
Hundreds of things.
Mm-hmm. Good. Okay.
Yes. Okay. I think Councilman Kelly had...
Well, I was just going to follow up on Brian's deal for, you know, us old folks aren't really as sharp on some of this tech stuff. But when they're coming down the road, the kids and the grandkids will take care of it, believe me.
Exactly.
I've got grandkids, and I don't know how they text that quick or can find stuff. It's amazing. But that's where the world's going, and, you know, we have to get on board. And I think you're doing a good job at it. And, you know, we got to stay even with it.
I think something we have done in the past, too, because as a number of other cities have asked me, because we are doing pretty well these days, and I often say, well, you know, we're poor, so we're used to working harder and doing it ourselves more. I think you're a bright guy. You've done an amazing amount. When we then take a look at what we've paid, it's pretty incredible. I think what we're saying is we understand there's some components that are specialty areas, and we need to start looking at getting contracting out for assistance in certain areas, because we want to jumpstart certain competitive areas, and it's kind of a one-time mm-hmm. expenditure, and we see how it works for us. And again, the result is it comes back to TOT and days here. As I always heard, all we want to do is make sure more people come and they stay longer and they spend more money. So those are the real results. Yeah. And then let us enjoy the ambiance we create with that. Yeah. So thank you.
Very good.
Councilman Clay, another
you know,
thought.
Things that shock their interest are, you know, I was thinking about coupons, or, you know, I mean, free always helps. I mean, I don't know whether there's stuff that, you know, they got to open it up, right? They got to, mm-hmm. something that makes them open things up.
Invest themselves in the process.
Right. If I could find the website, I'd do the same thing.
Very good. Yeah. Well, I think we probably exhaust council input. I know you're going to continue this process with the public, and as I said, what's most important is to...
You might have about regionalization.
I agree. I always say that Hearst Castle is our front door and the Margarita Ranch is our backyard, and we're right in the middle of about 230 wineries. And, you know, on a map, when you're talking to folks on the East Coast, we pretty much look like hop, skip, and a jump away. And, you know, it is true, Councilman Clay. I tell folks, you can stay in a lodging in Atascadero and get to any winery faster than you can from a hotel in Paso, because we have 7 freeway on-ramps. They only have 4. You can actually maneuver around quicker. Just wanted to throw that thought out. I knew you'd appreciate that.
I do Thank appreciate
you.
That.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank
I think
you very much.
We can move
Appreciate
forward.
It.
Good job once again, and thank you, Brady, for working with Steve. I think we do have an opportunity to bring the public up. Any input on this? We'll open up. Welcome. I'm glad, Roberta, you reminded me. We got so excited about our own input, we want to hear from our other community members.
Good evening. My name is Len Colomarino, and I'm an Atascadero resident. First of all, let me just say that it's really gratifying to hear this subject being discussed at this length. The real initiative has been in progress now for about a year, I guess, and that we're here talking about what's happened and how to go forward in this detail is very encouraging, because tourism, as was noted in the DVD, is the strongest industry in the county, and it's in the here and now. It's an obvious opportunity for this city. This industry offers more opportunity probably than anything else, and we can see it, and we can perceive it right now, and results are already coming in. Now, on some of these specific items that get stuck on us, I personally would be glad to see that be retired. I think that the concept of being stuck is not a very appealing concept to begin with. The word stuck is not a very pleasant one. And it's an inside joke that not many people are going to get. I mean, you could say so many things, centering the Central Coast, A lot of the other things that have already been suggested would be an improvement. There are a lot of concepts that are worth considering. I'm not sure the advantage of the centennial coming up. I'm wondering whether there's something that can be done to enhance the farmer's market. That's a very appealing thing to a lot of tourists. You know, the carnival atmosphere in San Luis Obispo is appealing to many tourists, but it might be good to get something a little more down-to-earth and more food-oriented. There's a possibility there. It's not doing much now for the city, but it should have potential. We have this distinct history and heritage, unlike any other. I mean, there's no town I know of in the West that has the kind of background this city does, with its intense planning and the idealistic drive that gave birth to this town. And then I just question, too, whether any nearby wineries are opening up event centers. Paso's getting the benefit of those wineries providing venues for them. Is it possible that one of these local wineries near Atascadero might do that? Anyway, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Colomarino, and thank you for your work on the bike plan in our area, another asset for our community. Other members of the public, seeing none approach, we will close public comment, and we can bring it back to council. I believe we've given our input, and Steve is still at 99% approval rating. Councilman Clay, is that correct? How about you, Councilman Kelly? 99%. Okay. Pretty good. You see, you always have room for improvement. I think we can move on to our next agenda item, C2, County Request for Input Regarding the Redrawing of Supervisorial District Boundaries. Staff report?
That will be me. Jim, I need a PowerPoint. Okay, this item, a county request for input regarding the redrawing of supervisorial district boundaries. We received a letter from the county administrator asking for input about redistricting. So our recommendation is that council direct staff to create a letter to the county administrator, including council's input on the upcoming redistricting of the supervisorial boundaries. Some history about this. The redrawing or redistricting is of the five districts that we have here in San Luis Obispo County. Each district is represented by everyone, not just the cities and community service districts, but everyone in the public is, they're asking for input. So they're asking cities if they have any concerns about changes or any ideas. So the purpose of the redistricting is to bring those districts into compliance with the one-person, one-vote mandate. It actually used to be called the one-man, one-vote mandate, both in federal and state constitutions. And the purpose of that is really that the voting power of each voter be as equal as possible. So again, so the balance in population, basically. This is a map that's probably not really, I tried to make it as big as I could here, and Atascadero, well, let me first say that, so here's the five districts, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. We're five, and Jim Patterson is our supervisor, and Atascadero is this little round area right there. So above us is Templeton, Paso Robles, which is in District 1, and, oops, get the furniture in the way here, and then here the green part of our five comes down into San Luis, where it's Cal Poly is there. I'll come back to this map in a little bit. So the county, in figuring this, again, they look at population mainly, but also they do exclude the prison populations, but they are also required to consider the topography and different things listed there on the screen about, again, so like Cuesta de Grade, for example, is something that is considered. And also anything, community interest. And that's why Cal Poly always comes up, because of the population at Cal Poly. It's always a consideration. The redistricting will take effect. They actually adopt an ordinance in November to make these changes, whatever changes they make. This would affect the next election in 2012. And as it says in the screen there, that this redistricting will not affect congressional or assembly or senate seats. So again, they are seeking input, and they have lots of opportunities. Besides talking about it tonight, they are having a workshop here on May 26th here in the council chambers for the public to come to, and also another one in June in Aurora Grande, and then they're having a meeting in July, and they're also having two hearings in September. Excuse me. They also are accepting mail or email from anyone. So even each council member personally, if you wanted to send an email to them also, aside from whatever you might decide tonight, they're accepting input in all those areas. So this is, again, that map. I want to know if you have any thoughts about any changes that you think should be made.
Thank you. And I think we want to hear from all council members. I think this is an area where I think it would be very good for us to agree on some core values as a council and be unanimous. That's been our strength as a council, that we are unanimous on so many important things. This is going to be important in representing us in different legislative levels. So I think if we can end up with what do we all agree on and make a strong statement, I think that is important. And with, I will go ahead and start on my left and work to my right for council input at this point or questions.
Well, the only thing that has kind of stood out in my mind in all this is the fact that we have Cal Poly in our district, and that kind of always has surprised me, because that we are very different in the North County when it than the Cal Poly population when it comes to just politically and just socially and the way that we are here. So as Council Member Fonzie had mentioned in the redistricting meeting at the, down in San Luis, that Cuesta Grade is a boundary if we're looking to for any kind of boundaries to that's really the only one that kind of sticks out in my mind, is that if we were going to change something, it would be to draw the line at Cuesta Grade and us being north of Cuesta Grade and not being having the portion south part of our district.
And as we go through making comments at this point, I know we have to quite come to a conclusion just yet. I do want to open up for public input, then bring it back to us for really coming to a conclusion. But I think sharing thoughts now that might stimulate our community to have some other ideas to share with us is good. Councilman Kelly.
I pretty much agree with Brian. You know, I think that having Cal Poly being involved in North County issues serves no useful purpose. And at the same time, I also think that the Cuesta Grade is a geographical dividing line. It always has been between North County and South County. It's two different worlds. And I don't know exactly how you would take the mechanics with the numbers and make that work, but I think that would be a good starting point to try to work around those two issues.
Mm-hmm. I'll go ahead and we'll just proceed on down. One of the requirements of this redistricting is that each district has about the same population, and what is beneficial now is there are so many technological tools that you can see that could be a plus and a minus. It could mean that it waters down their vote, that they don't really have as much influence because they can't really select who fits their desires. Or it could mean, in a case of a larger city, they could have a greater impact on a regional issue because they're actually in multiple supervisorial districts. In any case, I think it's most fair for all of us. We have seven incorporated cities in our area. I would hope that each city is intact within a supervisorial district. All of Atascadero in one, all of San Luis in another. It does get to that issue of Cal Poly, because there are just things that are in common in so many areas if we keep that in mind. I think with Atascadero, there are some other things to consider, not only keeping our city boundary intact, but we have so much in common with our water district, which is a little bit larger than our city, and our school district, which is a little bit larger still. That means we have more in common with Carissa Plains, Creston, other areas that are, these are folks that we actually go to school with, and we have so many interactions with the school district on other government issues, it would make sense that that be given some consideration as well. And I think, as was said, we have more in common with our rural North County than we do with other areas, and that's one of the intents of the redistricting, is to make sure that there's that representation of how the population is actually distributed, and we value that larger lot size. We have probably the largest average lot size of any city in the county. That fits much closer with our rural neighbors in Carissa Plains, Creston, Templeton, than, let's say, San Luis, where it's highly urbanized, probably the most urbanized. We're almost the opposite. So I think those are the kind of things that I would like that be considered in looking at this district. Councilman Fonzie.
You said many of the things that I was thinking. I think having a Tascadero intact is really number one for me. That I don't want to see a Tascadero split into several different districts. And I don't like having Cal Poly within our supervisorial district. I think that the problems and the benefits of Cal Poly really accrue to the city of San Luis Obispo. If there's noise or parties, they get them. If they have tax dollars, they shop there. It's occasionally they... And if we needed to shift slightly north because we're moving up to Cuesta Grade, I would say take in Templeton, that we probably have quite a bit more in common with Templeton than we do with Cal Poly. So Templeton's unincorporated. We share many of the same values. We have the same kids that are in 4-H and other places. Our schools are competing against each other in football games and so forth, and
it just seems like a natural
fit for us. If we are going to take in another area, go north, go to Templeton.
Can I just say, you can't read it on this map, but actually that little box there is California Valley. It's in our district, and Creston is right up here. It is also in our district, and Pozo. I'm not sure. Carissa Plains isn't listed there. I'm not exactly sure where that is, but a lot of those are. But yes, you're correct. Templeton is not, and I understand what you're saying there, but a lot of those are in our district.
Right. And I think the points are made because I know folks are experimenting with maps already, and there are different configurations. I think what we're saying is the things we've said, right. Moving north.
I'm taking notes.
Thank you.
Well, you guys are good. I swear to God, I can't believe it. Took all my energy. Just stuck a balloon in it. Anyway.
There you go with that word stuck again.
Yes, shoot. I'm sinking fast. I can see that. I like the idea that, you know, the Quest Grade boundary and that whole roll of hills as you go out past or Pozo, you know, it's a natural barrier. And then there's a natural barrier on the Los Padres Mountains. You know, when you top the grade, I like that idea of having the west side, that natural boundary, or the boundary be what E.G. Lewis's colony was. That's a possibility, too. And then, you know, go all the way out into Carissa and Creston and so on like it does. And then take in as much north as we can. I don't know whether we could include Templeton with the numbers, you know, with the population numbers. But definitely this thing with Cal Poly, that, you know, that's got to be something stressed, Marcia, you know, really stressed that that's not right. They're not like us, let's put it that way, you know what I mean? And but where would the Cuesta Grade be on that? Do you have a... Wish we had a topography map, that'd be great.
Sorry, this map was on the county's website.
Okay.
And
so where do you think include Margarita, you know, in the 5th district? So,
well, I'm suggesting that at least incorporated cities should each be intact within a supervisor.
In other words, don't split them down the middle.
Right. For example, San Luis is spread over 3 supervisorial districts.
Yeah.
I think I'd like to see that more intact, but certainly if we can reduce that and to make sure Atascadero is completely within one district.
Right.
And then as you can, other identified communities, if they can be within a supervisorial district, great, but at least if they have to split, be split across areas that make some sense.
Tom, number 3 there, because of San Luis populations, that's why it's so small. C3 on the map.
It includes San Luis Obispo, Avila Beach, Pismo Beach.
So the yellow up on top is, that's north?
That's Templeton, Paso Robles.
Okay, right. And then 4 is that the coast?
It's Aurora Grande, Napomo,
so it would be
Black
Adam
Lake.
Hill
and then and
right
the, and the coast is one. Is that it? Or?
Coast is two.
The
two,
coast right is here actually has Cambria, three. Morro Bay.
Oh, I see it there. I'm sorry, I didn't see the number. Okay. Well, thank you.
And Los Osos.
I think we had some really good ideas from.
Yeah, I'd like D, all of the above.
Okay, so I'll prepare a letter from you.
We're going to open up to the public, sure. And then we'll take a revisit to that conclusion. I do want to open it up to the public if anyone would like to comment on supervisorial districts. Welcome, Mr. Wilkins.
Jim Wilkins, president of the Historical Society. If you're talking about Cuesta Grade and that ridge, and Jerry was saying with the E.G. Lewis lots, it might be wise to think of Cerro Alto Ridge, and you can incorporate the whole Eagle Ranch. If you cut out the E.G. Lewis lots, you're going to cut the Eagle Ranch in half. So you might want to just consider going to top of Cerro Alto, clear up to 41. You're not cutting, there's not any population in that area right there. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no one else approach, we'll close public comment, bring it back to council.
Do we all agree with that statement, Jim's? I think that's a good idea.
And again, that's looking at within our sphere of influence. Right. Again, it's the area serviced by Chief Stone.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and council. Tonight before you is a review and an update of the, we affectionately refer to it as the emergency plan. And I'm going to walk through a few slides with you. This is pretty benign. It's small types of changes that we've kind of collected over the past 5 or 6 or 7 years. We've learned flaws within our plan as we've tested and drilled and actually used it in real emergencies, and we've been collecting those. What prompts us to bring this before you tonight is actually the draft resolution that we're going to ask you to support. It's important that we have included in the draft resolution for both FEMA and CalEMA, or what used to be OES, California OES, is a lot of the SIMS, NIMS, some of the incident command type language that's going to be key in the city seeking reimbursements. So tonight, this is a periodic update of the MERP, or the Multi-Hazard Emergency Response Plan, and we're asking you to approve the resolution. Couple of the community impacts, I thought I'd bring up and remind the council that the City Council's number three goal is public safety. This fits well and dovetails into your goals. It improves emergency preparedness, improves the emergency response and coordination with allied agencies, and it will make us consistent with what's expected from specifically the state and feds, and by local I'm referring to San Luis Obispo County. A lot of effort went into this plan, and all the departments had a hand in the update. Give you a brief history. The plan used to be a binder that was about 3.5 inches thick, and when an emergency went down, you pulled the binder out and you kind of scratched your head and hoped you could find where you were navigating. Bob Newman was contracted back in 2003, a local fire chief retired from San Luis Obispo, an absolute expert in this area, and Tom Way kind of partnered with Bob and really helped put together this emergency plan. We received a no-match grant to update and actually change the format of our emergency plan, which we contracted with Bob. And this is kind of the son of or the offspring of Bob Newman. Instead of having a huge binder, what you see on the right in the photo there is the multi-hazard plan. So rather than pulling out a binder that covers every hazard you might experience, you actually pull out just the thin binder that covers the fire or flood or earthquake or whatever we call them, annexes, that might be affecting the city county level, or a phone number changes. We actually have to update that support material because those personal cell phone numbers, the after hours number for Deku or Home Depot, we maintain those phone logs so that we can contact these vendors in the middle of the night if we need supplies. The most notable changes, as I stated, are the state and federal compliant requirements for the NIMS and SIMS. NIMS meaning National Emergency Management System, and SIMS, the Standardized Emergency Management System. And as usual, pat the California Emergency Services on the back. California has really led the forefront with the Incident Command System, which police and fire and even Public Works uses on a regular basis. SIMS was developed by State of California, and in my opinion, the Fed said, well, we can't be outdone, so we're going to create NIMS, which is basically SIMS with a different acronym. So to make everyone happy, we are adopting both, and both do fit and dovetail well together. The other notable changes, the staffing structure of the city has changed over the past 2 or 3 years, and we actually called in the succession planning replacement of job titles, and some of those job titles didn't exist anymore. So this corrects and updates those parts, and that's reflected in the part one, the basic plan. We talked about parts 2 and 3. And in conclusion, staff's recommending that council adopt the draft resolution adopting the updates to the emergency plan, and I would be happy to answer any questions if you have them.
Very good. Thank you. I'll start this side. Councilwoman Fonzie.
Yeah, I was surprised to see that we had a disaster council. That was something I wasn't aware of, and I feel it would be helpful if the city council were more involved perhaps with the disaster council so we're kept up to date regularly on what's in the plan, because we'll be making policy decisions. We don't do the nuts and bolts. We leave that to the experts in the field, but I think it's actually helpful to keep us involved in the plan and define our role more clearly perhaps for us. So I don't know whether that's something that we could incorporate into it, but I think it would actually be helpful if there were more of us than just the mayor on that disaster council.
Certainly that could be expanded, and we can make this fit any way you like. It's kind of interesting, when the disaster council met, and I'll be honest, we're supposed to meet yearly. This is the first time we've met in 5 or 6 or 7 years. It's now on our calendar. We are going to meet yearly at minimum and more frequently if needed. And the disaster council had some discussion over that after we figured out what all of our respective
would see. Seemed to be a natural progression with an elected mayor. I think the role of the mayor and the perception of the public of the mayor will be different than it has been in the past. So I think integrating them and defining those roles is very important.
Councilman Kelly.
Yes, I agree with Councilwoman Fonzie. I think that all of the council members should be made aware of how the incident command system actually works. In the past, I've had some training in it and been involved in it, by no means an expert or anything. But because if we do have a major disaster, which I hope we never have, it's going to be a 24-hour occasion going on. And I think all of the city council members should be aware exactly how it works, and if they do have to fill in a position, that they have some knowledge of how it works. And excuse me, last week I went to the League of California Cities Channel Island dinner, and Tony Farrar is on the Public Safety Committee, I guess, for the League of California Cities, and had made a statement that at one of their meetings that their city council members actually have they can be liable for not knowing what the emergency plan is and how it actually works. I haven't had the opportunity to call him up to research that a little bit more, where that information came from. But I think it would be just a good idea to have the city council members aware of how this actually works. Not that we're going to run it or anything, but, you know, so when something happens and somebody comes to us, I don't want to have to say I don't know.
Sure. We can structure training. We can make it all-inclusive. We can structure this any way you like.
Thank you. Councilman Sturdivant?
Yeah, Kurt, I too was kind of surprised about when I read about the disaster council, because I didn't realize that we had that. And so I read through the report, because I too I'm concerned about, I want to make certain that I know everything I need to know, because if something does occur, it's going to happen when we least expect it, and that's the worst time to actually have, you know, me personally not really knowing what to do or how I fit in. So, yeah, if there's some way you could work that out, or we can, however that, whether it's you or us or however we're going to do that. I do agree with Councilmember Fonzie that there should be more than just, you know, on that council. There should be at least a couple council members, if not more. So that way there's better representation in case the mayor, like we are going to be changing in next year with an elected mayor. So things will be a bit different. So We have to just keep changing with it, just like you're changing, making the changes here. So, very good report, though, by the way. I did learn a lot by reading it.
Well, my thought, of course, Councilman Clay and I were both on council when we had our biggest emergency hit us, and it was challenging. And it's true. At the time, I was still working full-time as mental health administrator and was actually responsible for a countywide emergency response team. Meanwhile, my wife is calling me with our house half going one way, half going the other way, and Wade's calling me up saying we need to have an emergency council meeting, and we are all going to be there as council members. So you can have multiple responsibilities, and you don't know who is going to be available. This is a little bit different than that, in that this is the kind of working with staff to have some council input on what the policy will be. And when I sat in on this, as the chief said, we haven't done this in a number of years. It's good we're getting back started. But that was my thought, too, is to have two council members on, and not necessarily mayor and mayor pro temp either. I think there's often, as any other area, there's a couple of council members that maybe have an extra interest, are going to put more time and work into that particular area like we have with finance or others. So I would leave it open to something that we go through the process as we do for any other committee. But I think there's council consensus that we look at changing our existing policy to have two council members selected in the same process that we do other standing committees. But separate from that, it's very true. We are all responsible to understand the plan. That's separate from this. Whatever the policy is and whoever determines what it is, and it has to be developed by the professionals, we all need to be aware of it. So I think working into a regular update time, and I know you've done a very good job with this before, Chief, I think having both chiefs take some time with a study session that we are familiar. Maybe we can't do it all, but we kind of get components that we roll through that we're all aware of what our responsibilities and what you need from us as council members in those times. So let's hey, Tom, I think there's consensus for something to come back. Councilman Clay,
you
then
you just
Councilman
give me Fulton. Another opportunity to congratulate staff on the way
yes.
they handled the earthquake.
Yes.
A lot of them had problems of their own, and the way they fell out and took over, and
yes.
The old, what was it, arcade building.
We're not included in that, but perhaps should have been.
At that training exercise, the whole focus, you know, it's, I'll be honest, probably some of you remember when we did the wildland exercise out in the field. Well, we tried to run an entire field exercise, close down the city, and run the EOC, and really still function as a city government, responding to fire, police calls, building requests, inspection requests, and we tried doing too much. So the whole focus of the active shooter incident at the high school was to really get the players out in the field. That was the first time that I can remember that has ever happened. Law enforcement did a terrific job of getting us all together and letting us all see each other so that we could fumble our way through, make mistakes, learn from the process in the field, and not bite off more than we can chew as far as trying to help facilitate and create a positive environment that's a learning environment in the EOC. And so in listening to you, what I think I'm hearing is to, and I think we can do this tonight, and your suggestion is include the mayor pro tem on the disaster council and create a tabletop exercise that involves the entire council and anyone who's been through the fire training. And I know many of you have, and you've heard Tom and Bill and myself teach those, is we teach in a non-threatening, constructive fashion so that you're going to learn what you need to do so that you're successful when you have to do it, even in a drill or an exercise. And so what I think I'm hearing you say is that we'll provide the training, both the chiefs can work on that together, provide that training to the council, and then create a tabletop and walk you guys through creating the declaration of disaster, forwarding that to the county, and how the communication and our link to the county would work at a policy group level.
Well, I will correct one thing. Is I don't believe we said, as it currently is written in, it says in the policy it'll be the mayor, I believe. And I don't want to have it say mayor pro tem. I think we leave it to, it could be any two council members, and they will be appointed as however the other appointments are made.
And I apologize for taking that liberty. What I was trying to point out is that the Atascadero Municipal Code says that anyone that the Disaster Council wants to invite to that can be invited to it and included on the Disaster Council. Yeah. So we don't have to bring a change in the Atascadero Municipal Code back to you to respect your wishes.
Tom, I'm concerned that we're going to be putting a lot of work on these folks. Is that what we're doing? Or?
No. I was involved in a real scenario, which I think then as we rotate, maybe you have one or two possibilities of council members being involved in different drills. You've got us experienced to where we're going to be of use to you in a real emergency. If you think it's tough including us when it's a drill, try including us when it's a real emergency, and you have to answer all of our dumb mm-hmm. questions, quite frankly. And so I think it's worth that effort, as we can rotate through and be included on the drills will be of more value to you on the real emergencies. I think we learned a lot at FEMA.
Yes,
Councilwoman Fonzi, you had a follow-up?
Yes, I do. And perhaps this would be more of a strategic planning goal. It's a little beyond where we are in this particular item on our agenda. But you have to see it from our perspective, if you can, that we're novices in this role. And we're placed into a very important position in the time of a crisis. And we have to take a lot of responsibility if we impose, let's say, a curfew or an evacuation, whatever it may be. It has a lot of ramifications for the people that are out in the city. And we need to understand that role better, is what we're trying to say to you. And we may need some training to do that. So I would like to just put that forward, that we're novices, too, and need some instructions. Particularly, I would say, in crisis communications would be one of the first things I would like to see the council take on, how you deal with the press in the time of stress, in the time of an emergency. That would be probably number one for me. And then the workings of the EOC might be helpful to some who didn't go where Tom and I went to Maryland and saw it in action.
And I think what's helpful is, as Wade knows, there are some good League of California City trainings on emergency communications, for example, for council members, and it wouldn't be on our staff to do that, and it's designed for council members, and that might be something good. But I do think we can do it as maybe part of our staff training with a council presentation, because, as you know, when we were at the FEMA training, there are a number of times we're just trying to understand now who's the incident commander and what. And I realized at that time that if we're in a true emergency, I hated even in a drill, I hated to say, excuse me now, who's on first kind of a thing? And you're asking us to make some real-time decisions. And I think just having a little bit of orientation as we learned in that would help. So I agree with Councilman Clay. We don't want to add a lot of burden to staff, but I think we can work our – we have to learn. Councilman Kelly.
I think that's where the training comes in. Right. Everything's training. The fire department trains all the time, so when something happens, they react. They don't have to open up the book. They know what they have to do. And I think that's true with the city council. If we're trained and we go to someplace, we shouldn't have to ask the questions because right. we – don't really know what they're doing, but we really have a real good idea of what they're doing, and we're just observing it there. And actually, we would only be there if they need us.
Yes.
And I think the training and the orientation, that's all I'm asking for. Right. So I went up to the high school drill that they had, and I just observed. It was completely under control. They had their incident commander, they had this guy here, and they had that guy there, and occasionally they would come over and just tell me what they were doing. But I do have a little bit of knowledge how that stuff works, and I think knowledge is not going to hurt any of us.
Well, I'm sorry for belaboring this, Chief, but I think we have a council, as you know, that's more involved than most councils, and we also have council that's has some experience, whether it's emergency services, but not all councils in the future may be in that case. And just like you take every person, you know there's a minimum level of training every one of your staff have. I think
we're kind of saying every council member needs some minimum information that's going to make it easier for you. And I think that's all we're saying, and we can work on that.
You're okay with the mayor being on the council, right?
Yeah, I think the mayor should be on the council.
Any other appointee or any other person that...
Oh, you mean, I thought you were talking about city council.
No, I'm talking about this...
Yes.
Yeah, you're okay with the mayor?
Yes, what I'm suggesting is it could be the mayor or it could be any two council members. I don't think it has to be the mayor.
How do you feel about that, Roberta?
I think the mayor is the face of the city.
I agree.
That they're elected at this next election. It's very important that they be right up front in the public eye.
You're overruled,
they need the training.
Tom.
Well, I think the mayor can still be the face of the city, but not necessarily have to be on the council.
Well, this is an emergency.
Either way.
we may be straining too much at this because in an emergency. The mayor is going to be the spokesperson.
Needs to be on that.
This
council.
Is a policy committee that meets once a year that works on detailed lines that the public most likely will never see.
Tom, you're going to be outvoted, but let's take a consensus here, okay? Because I think the mayor should be on that.
Sounds like there's a consensus that the mayor and one other.
Because we got three votes here, I can see them. The mayor and one other person is the way we're all seeing it.
I think we ought to approve what's before us tonight
and
work on this other one.
Well, we should decide that, okay?
But I think we ought to maybe get some more information.
We don't need any more. We got three votes.
Perhaps I could help you.
Let's get some more information and so we have information that we can make our decision on.
I think we have an existing policy. The staff's recommendation is we keep that. And you wanted to add, city manager?
No, you guys are going in a great position. Actually, if you stick with the recommendation, both of your concerns will be taken care
yes.
of. The municipal code, which you can't change as a policy,
yes.
says the mayor. Then we could just add another council member.
Then I'd like can I make a motion? I'd like to make a motion we adopt draft resolution A, adopting the updated multi-hazard emergency response plan.
Do you want to add, do we need to add one person on their way on that
no,
motion?
It's already in there. I'll second.
Okay. Let's get this over with.
Well, why don't then I call roll call then?
That's a good idea.
Roll call, please.
Did you want to get public comment before we vote?
Oh. You know, that would be a very good idea. We just got so excited, Councilman Clay. Thank you.
Yep.
We're going to open this up for public input.
Oh, well, we do.
Welcome, Mr. Wilkins.
Jim Wilkins, president of the Historical Society. I think you're doing a great job. I just want to piggyback because Wright, the curator of the museum, and myself are going to be going to Paso Museum, the Pioneer Museum. They're hosting through the California Association of Museums disaster preparedness workshop for us. And we can piggyback on some maybe this information that Kurt Stone has. And it's just so that we can be ready again, like once, you know, that earthquake hit, we weren't quite ready. And, you know, God forbid something like that happens again. But if it does, we will be ready ourselves. So I think this was a timely meeting for me to come to you tonight. And so we'll be going there this Friday, and then there's one in June. And they'll be helping us put together a plan to address some of these issues you're talking about with our collection personally. So thank you.
Very good point. Thank you. Seeing no one other member of the public approach, we'll close public comment. I believe we have a motion on the floor. And the maker and second were?
Councilmember Sturdivant and Mayor Pro Tem Kelly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Sturdivant.
Yes.
Councilmember Fonzie?
Yes.
Councilmember Clay?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Kelly?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Joe DiMenico and myself, he's the nicest man in Tascadero. We ate at the little pizza place in the Vaughn Center and they have a 2-4. What's the name of that restaurant, by the way, folks? The pizza place in the Vaughn Center? Central Coast?
Caltera?
No, not Caltera, the pizza place.
Central Coast Pizza.
Central Coast Pizza, yeah. I had a great meal. And then Joe said, hey, let's go to the yogurt shop in Adobe Plaza. So we went there and we had some yogurt, and man, it was great. So anyway, 58 restaurants in Tascadero, folks. Got to use them all.
Thank you. Councilwoman Fonzie.
I just wanted to extend a note of condolence to Scott Satterthwaite on the death of his mother. And our thoughts and prayers are with him in this hard time. Also, I had the occasion of calling the police this last week. I had an interesting character trying to get into my son's car and then coming up my walk after 11 o'clock at night. It was a little scary. And the police were very responsive and took care of the issue right away, and I just wanted to say thank you.
Thank you. No other announcements. We'll move on to committee reports. First, myself. Did not have a city schools committee meeting this time, and the mayor's roundtable I'll have Mayor Pro Tem Kelly talk about when it gets to him, because he attended on my behalf while I was at another function. And we will be having an integrated waste management authority meeting tomorrow. And one topic that's coming back, I will just mention, since it came up at the first meeting I was at before, and I voiced a fairly strong opinion, so I figured I should run it by council, something that Supervisor Jim Patterson and I disagree on, and I know Supervisor Gibson agrees with Mr. Patterson, and other folks agree with me, and we'll probably have a little discussion, but it's with plastic bags coming back. It's something that Integrated Waste Management Authority is looking at banning, perhaps. The one concern I brought up at it, because I certainly understand there's some environmental issues with plastic bags. One of the things that's being considered is a fee on some items, as much as 10 cents, it's saying, for using paper bags or this or that. My strong feeling is, as I said, I would not support any increase in fee or whatever you call it. Town with the mayor on Friday at Santa Rosa School, right after their Battle of the Books preparation, we're going to have, I think, most of the council. I understand you'll be there in spirit while working full-time, but I appreciate all the other council members joining me, and we will ride from Santa Rosa School along part of our Safe Route to School path down by so many things good in Atascadero, our Atascadero Lake, the pavilion, the zoo, and we will end up at our Veterans Memorial.
Tom, what
it's
time
downhill
would that
all
be?
The way. It'd be at 2 o'clock, Councilman Clay.
Yeah. Remember, when you go downhill, Tom, you have to ride back uphill to get your car, okay? Got to remember that.
I will remember that. Thank you. Councilman Kelly.
I've got a lot of things here on the agenda. Roberta, would you want to handle the slow cog breakfast that we went to? I attended the Atascadero State Hospital Advisory Board meeting, and just like everybody else, they are having budget problems down there. In fact, at the current time, they are 100 nurse positions short, and they're going to reduce the population of the hospital from 1,155 people down to 998. They feel they can get better controls on treating the people for that down there. I also attended the Youth Task Force meeting, and our recreation staff with Brady. They're working with the youth up there, and they're going to try to have senior high school events down at the rec center, I believe, once a month, probably starting after the summer. Is that right, Brady? Went to the visitors tourism event over at Hearst Castle. That was a kickoff for Savior of the Central Coast. That was a real nice event over there. And like Steve said, people are talking about Atascadero. We're getting a lot of attention from a lot of different people. Went down to the League of California Cities channel dinner down there, and that was real nice. They had probably about a 75% turnout from all the different cities. And at the mayor's meeting that they had earlier before the dinner, I think Janice Peters, the ex-mayor from Morro Bay, is trying to put a program together where all of the cities will build up an inventory of all the facilities and things that they have in their towns for the movie industry. You know, like hotels, catering, truck repairs, just a little bit of everything. So actually the movie industry will be able to do a one-stop shopping deal, and it'll probably require a lot of work, but I think we'll hear a little bit more.
Well, I'd like to tell you what happened at the Slow Cog Breakfast. This was a meeting that Bob and I and two members from Paso Robles, our two supervisors for both districts, Paso and Atascadero, were also there. They had several consultants, and they're going to be doing a study and survey to see if the county would be willing to support a half-cent sales tax increase so we could have our roads better maintained. So Bob and I, neither one of us stated our opinion on the half-cent increase, thinking that will shake out with the research and we'll see where it goes. But the question came up on how the money would be spent, and one of the things we both stressed was the importance of equality among the various cities, that no particular area should be favored more than another. If it's collected from the entire county in terms of sales tax revenue, it should be spent equitably in the county.
Thank you. And let me just add to that.
Question. Would that be a two-thirds vote then if it's specific?
I think it is a two-thirds vote, yeah.
Right. Thank you.
I think that's what's being questioned. That's the lunch you'll be going to with me on Thursday, Councilman Clay. No, you'll be welcome. Mayor Duane from Paso and I and another council member from each city will be going through the same process. And it is a survey that Slow Cog is proposing to look at a tax increment. And probably, I think what's a concern to me is that it probably will be leveraged, not so much that it has to be, but that the criteria Slow Cog is debating, this is why these regional meetings are so important, is it comes down to a vote of the region, that if we adopt criteria that weights certain things over others, for example, if you're spending more on bus system versus roads, as we may choose to do things differently in our area, it might end up weighting in future funds differently. So these are things that we have to be diligent on and weigh into. So thank you for participating. I think all of our council will be involved on this topic. Did you have other... You've got some other reports.
No other reports, okay. But I do want to let you know that the two cities in the North County weighed in very heavily on the maintenance of roads.
Treasurer, city attorney, or city manager? Seeing none, we'll adjourn the meeting. Thank you. Okay.